I'm interviewing my best friend, Caitlin Wazak, about her experience in the chronic illness community. So, Caitlin, could you first tell us what illnesses you have?
I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome type 3, which is hypermobility. I have POTS, which is also postural orthostatic tachycardic syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I have migraines, endometriosis, arthritis, and I think that's it.
Okay. And how did you receive your diagnosis of your illness? For instance, was it something that you just, you know, went to the doctor one day and you were diagnosed, or was it something that you had been struggling with for years and you had to fight for answers for?
For the Ehlers-Danlos?
Mm-hmm. For whichever one affects you the most, or you consider, you know, the your biggest chronic illness.
I think Ehlers-Danlos, I would say, is the biggest chronic illness, because a lot of the other things I have come because I have Ehlers-Danlos.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I started learning something was wrong is I was in marching band.
Mm-hmm.
I took up my flute, which is a very light instrument. However, mm-hmm. my shoulders would instantly dislocate whenever I tried.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from doctor to doctor for a few months and finally found a surgeon, thinking, you know, it was just a weird fluke, and he said, I'm pretty sure you have Ehlers-Danlos.
Mm-hmm.
Explained what it was and sent me to a geneticist who did all the testing and diagnosed me.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, just, you know, for extra opinion, and I was also diagnosed with EDS there too.
Okay, so again, sorry, how did you get referred to the geneticist? You found a surgeon first.
Because I just thought I needed shoulder surgery. I had no idea.
Okay.
How much of a mess I was, or how many of my symptoms weren't, like, normal, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had those problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how old were you when you finally got your diagnosis?
I believe I was 14.
And how long do you think before then that you really started experiencing severe or chronic symptoms, looking back?
About a year.
Okay.
A year before is when it really, something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what.
Okay. How would you say your illness impacts your daily life? Whichever way.
I mean, we'll start on a good note.
Okay.
So, in a positive way, it has introduced me to the SUNY community.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said before, we're best friends, and that would have never happened if I didn't become sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, need to reach out to others like me. It has also just given me the opportunity, because I can't work for just, like, quote, normal things.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's given me the opportunity to, like, meet a bunch of people and do charity work that I'd never be able to do or be in that position to do,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really cool.
And what kind of charity work, and what, sorry, that's okay, what kind of charity work has being in the SUNY community given you the opportunity to do?
I have that time for, like, for example, like, church.
Mm-hmm.
I go to church and they need help, like, making cards for people or, you know, working on decorations, and since I'm home, when the days aren't, you know, really painful and I can function in those, then I can do all that, so they can do things they need to do, and I can help back by that. I can, like, a lot of behind-the-scenes things.
Okay.
And then, this is charity work, but it also gave me that opportunity to kind of have, like, you kind of become a mentor to some of the younger friends I have.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just, you know, share your experience and just kind of be there for them in a way that, you know, their other friends can't, because they can't relate. You just kind of help them through what you went through at their age.
I know exactly what you mean by when you say that, because that's exactly what you were to me, even though we're only, like, a year apart, just having you as a friend who had gone through so many of the same things that I had and understood it, because at that point when we first met, I was, you know, still learning very much about it, but you really helped guide me and support me in a way that, you know, I couldn't get from my friends who were healthy, because they just didn't have that same experience or perspective or understanding. No, you're welcome. You really were. You really were. I guess you, since you covered the negative side, the positive side of how your illness impacts your daily life, what would you say are the negative impacts?
I mean, there's the, I guess, when anyone hears the word disability, they just assume you can't function.
Mm-hmm.
When that's not 24/7 for me, but when those days happen, I mean, I'd be lying if I said that didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
No, being stuck in, when you're stuck in bed, when you can't even physically, like, pick up the toilet seat or, you know, pick up your dog or,
mm-hmm.
you know, simple stuff, pour your own water. Like, those days are something hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be positive, but you can't really, you know, that can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, like, looking at, like, my little brother does not have any of the health problems.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's younger, he's driving, and he's at college, and I'm not, like, I'm very, very happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little hard just to look at that and be like, I can't even, like, work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, stuff like that is kind of hard. Like, you have to see your friends and family succeed, but then it kind of really kind of makes you think about what you haven't. And even though, you know, you really are doing a lot of things, it's different things, but, you know, when you see all that, you kind of, your mind kind of gets into, like, a lower point.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out of those moments. It's not like long, you know, it's not like the rest of your life you feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have those sad days here and there where you just, like, what, you just don't know what to do.
I understand.
You know, you had that whole life planned out and then got sick, and so you just have to, I guess, replan your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to be like, oh, it's all roses, it's okay. But there's definitely some hard days.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Relating to that, what would you say is the biggest challenge of being chronically ill as a young person?
Ooh. Can I have two answers?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay. My first answer, I would say, is more the people close to you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say aunt and uncles or friends who aren't around 24/7 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for them to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And there will always be someone in your life who just accuses you of faking it because you're young.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, people seem to think, oh, if you're young, you can't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wish that was true.
Yeah.
That's not how life works. And that's kind of hard because it's, you know, mentally, it's just kind of hard when your aunt's saying, for example, it was my aunt who did that to me, saying, you're faking it, you're being terrible, how could you, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Really,
especially when you're just diagnosed,
mm-hmm.
you already feel kind of miserable, and because you just don't understand, you know, sort of, like, life wasn't taken from me, but, like, you know, as a teenager, that really just, you know, turned my life around.
Yeah.
And then so being yelled at for it, or, like, that I was doing it first sense, like, that's not, you need support.
Mm-hmm.
And you, but that's why I think the support group, like, where you and I met, are so important, because people can relate, and, you know, sometimes, like, since I was still a teenager, other teenage parents would talk to my mom and, like, give them notes, and, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other one kind of goes along the same lines. It's like, when you, for example, I need a handicap sticker,
mm-hmm.
so I cannot walk long distances, or sometimes I even need a walker or a wheelchair. But man, when you get out of that handicap sticker, there's always someone there. You shouldn't be using that. You look fine.
Mm-hmm.
I always look like I got ran over by a car.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, you have to explain to people, there is no certain, you know, what am I supposed to look like for being sick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I try not to get too mad, because to be honest, I'm pretty sure, definitely when I was younger, like middle school, when
mm-hmm.
someone who looked, quote, healthy walked out of there, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, oh, yeah, sure, you're good. You just want to park up close, which is terrible.
Me too. I've had that. I've realized that too. I've seen people get out of, like, disabled parking spots, and I'm like, wait, you look fine. And I'm like, Danao, you're literally doing what you shouldn't be doing. You're projecting onto other people. And it's something that's just so innate in us to be judgmental about that and to assume, oh, you're only sick if you look sick.
Right, and not like to like blame media, but like in most movies, you know, that's kind of how sick people are either really sick or faking it or ignoring, like, they're not really put in a good light.
Mm-hmm.
They're always played like the annoying person or whatever. And I feel like we should have our own, you know, things on our own, but I feel like that was kind of engraved in everyone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And or the people are like, oh, well, you must be contagious. And that's not how it works at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I'm sorry. I sidetracked it.
Oh, no, that's okay. So, yeah, you were talking about how, the biggest challenges for you of being chronically ill, and you talked about how, you know, the first one was that it's hard, a lot of times hard for family and friends to accept that, you know, they may not believe you or accuse you as faking. And then what was the other part of your answer?
Well, just the world just kind of, you know, like I said, like if you look healthy and you're using handicap sticker or you're using one of those carts in a store,
mm-hmm.
like an electronic cart, people always can be like, oh, it's just a lazy, you know, she's young, lazy, she just doesn't want to walk, so she's just goofing around, or she must be using her grandma's sticker, or you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
But I learned also, just because someone glanced at me, I shouldn't assume, oh my god, they're judging me, they're thinking this, or that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I used to really struggle with. I would be afraid to use my walker or anything because I was so afraid of the judgment.
Yes.
Which is silly, especially because my walker makes something easier. But you just, you know, it's a lot to have thrown out of you, out of nowhere, in a way, to be diagnosed. You've kind of got to learn and slowly accept yourself.
Exactly, and I've been, like, struggling with that, too, recently. The more I've had to use mobility aids, like, you know, my cane in the past few months, I still hate using it. I feel like I look like, you know, disability is not portrayed positively in the media at all. It's seen as something bad, something you should, you know, be sad about, and people, you know, they either ask questions or they look at you strange or they pity you, and it's not something you want to be living your life, and you don't want to have those kind of negative thoughts and assumptions following you. So it's something that you, like, very much have to get used to, like, day by day.
Yeah, and spinning off, like you said, you don't like using your you like how it helps.
Mm-hmm.
Using it publicly. See, what personally helped me with that was, like, you know what? I don't have to get black and navy blue. Like, I can get fun colors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like my cane is pink.
Mm-hmm.
Glitter, but, like, you can barely see the glitter. But, and then, like, my walker has a built-in chair, which is, like, great for shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You can stop whenever. But more importantly, it's purple. And, you know, like, for fun, like, Christmas, I put in some little fun battery-powered Christmas lights. Like, I mean, you might as well work with what you got. And
that's so true.
You know, and, I mean, it's you can, there's so many things online that sell custom designs on the, and it's, I mean, you can make it, kind of like, make it your own personality. I mean, it's not never going to be easy, I would say, just, you know, walking around campus or whatever situation you're in with the walker when all your friends are running past, but you might as well make it fun for you.
That's so true. And moving on, has being chronically ill affected your goals for the future?
Oh, okay. Well, originally I was planning on going to school to become a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those classes that, like, I didn't have to, like, I mean, it was so interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of understood it. It was like the first time I ever took a class where I did not have to study for a test and I would get 100.
Mm-hmm.
Not like in a bragging way, but just like it was nice to.
Yeah, yeah.
Experience that. But like, and I enjoyed reading the homework and blah blah blah. But that kind of got put on hold, if not crossed off my to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my health, I did try to continue going to community college. But then surgeries and just life kind of got in the way. I guess it's a backtrack. I planned on graduating high school, like most any teenager did. And the school had never dealt with someone who couldn't go to school before. We never had a plan in action. And it just didn't work. They basically ended up just giving me D's to pass and just kind of gave up on me. Which was unfortunate, but at the same time, I can't fully blame what they have up now. I think they're a lot better. So, I mean, someone had to be the guinea pig for them to learn what to do.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but true.
And just like we didn't know as much as I know now, and so I went to get my GED 3 times, studied, passed all the tests, like the practice test, and I never worked out between like being sick, like flu sick, or hip dislocating, or something. Like it's just, and after the third time of studying and getting out the door and looking passing, I just kind of like put it on pause. Focus on than having a GED to like, you know, like, I don't care what people think because it's not like I dropped out because I was lazy or, you know,
exactly.
But I, that did change my plan around definitely of going to college and, you know, but in a way, in like a twisty way, I guess it did help me in the sense that I had no idea how I have anxiety disorders. And I had no idea what I had was like anxiety attacks.
Okay.
So, and over this time of when I would have been in college, I got diagnosed and seeking help for it. And even now it's monitored now, you know, it still comes every once in a while to get an attack. And then it's scary, and I don't think I would have been in college very well without having the help that I have now.
Okay. So in a way, even though you haven't been able to focus fully on things that you may have planned, like, you know, working towards finishing school and starting your career, now you've had a lot more time to focus on learning about your health, taking time for it.
Like, I took a year off community college right now, just kind of put it on hold, and I had 2 surgeries this year, and just other health things focused on. And as much as it, like, you know, it was ridiculous to kind of take a year off to focus just on doctor visits.
It sounds ridiculous to people who don't have to deal with medical issues every time. And even like in my head, it makes me feel like, oh my gosh, am I being lazy for a whole year? Am I not doing anything? But the thing is, when you experience those consistent health problems, the only thing you can do to be able to function is to pay attention to them and to dedicate time to healing and treatment.
And I think one thing you need to learn, not you specifically, but anyone, is like with our illnesses, you know, there could be just within an hour, like 10 different reasons you might have to go to the doctor. You know, like, why is my shoulder feeling like this? Over the time, you will learn, you know, okay, that's not a big deal, that's not a big deal. This is, or let's wait 3 days, or. Yes, I mean, it's such a weird thing that, you know, one moment your hip's out, the next moment your shoulder, your elbow's dislocated, and then 2 hours later you're fine. Like, it's.
Exactly.
You know, you have to learn when to run to the doctor and when not to. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and you don't want to, like, go to the doctor so much that you start, you know, like, whoa, going to the doctor. And then, because I did that, well, more, I just was sick of going to the doctor. I wasn't going up a crazy amount, but then I tried to avoid going to the doctor. And that was just bad for me, because, you know, I wasn't going on the time that I should have gone. But, like, I mean, I figured it out now. I have a good message, I guess. I don't know.
No, that is really helpful, and that's something that it's taken me years to learn, and it's something I know I'm still learning with every day, how to kind of learn to be flexible with myself and be patient with myself and learn that, okay, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world if things don't go as planned. And if I'm not able to do things that I once thought I can be flexible about it. So I'm really hoping like whoever may be listening to this will, that will help them, and hopefully they don't have to go through as many, you know, struggles or bad days as we did trying to figure this out.
Right, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Even if it's just one person, it'd be great to, or at least calm their fears about things, I don't know.
Exactly. And leading more into our discussion about the Spoonie community, how do you think that the you know, Spoonie community, the online community of chronically ill people, has positively affected you in your journey, whether that be, you know, through diagnosis, through coping, through healing, finding out more information?
Okay, well, I was diagnosed before I was aware the community is existing.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, weirdly enough, found my first group of SUNY supporters on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted, and this is like way back before Twitter was like used by everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was the, like, the beginning time of Twitter, so to speak. Or when it was just starting to become popular.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so cool, and I didn't realize that that was just a tiny fragment of the things you can find through Facebook or specific websites made for that your health problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's multiple things you can go to depending on where you live, and that just total, first of all, when I started finding these things on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
it was so, it took like a weight off my chest of, are not crazy. It
mm-hmm.
is a real thing. There's other people that have it. You can relate to them. They're able to give me advice. You know, they're the first people that go, oh yeah, I have that. This is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, I understand. Well, it's just like recommending doctors. I mean, like, that's huge way off your chest.
Yeah.
Because at least you have someone to go back to be like, hey, have you heard of this? Or do you know this doctor? Or I need this kind of doctor. Is there any, you know, within this area? And then on top, and at the time, I was the youngest. It was mainly just adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in my teens. But then, you know, as Twitter grew, so did the people.
Oh, yeah.
I met a lot more people my age. And that, again, was just amazing to, like, there was a girl named Erin, and she was the first, like, same age as me that I met. And it was just one thing for adults, but it's different when it's your age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, relating to you and going through the same things with school and boys, like, you know, how do you date when you're broken?
Yeah.
You're not literally broken, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's a conversation you kind of have to have when you, with the person you're dating, and, you know, just little things, the big things, someone who can relate totally, and they're living through it with you. And I just thought that was so cool, because I don't have that in my family, because I'm the only one that's sick.
Mm-hmm.
They're well diagnosed. So I thought that was just, and I still meet people that I do, and you become my best friend.
Yeah.
It's really opened up the door to meeting a lot of great people and getting some amazing advice. So.
And specifically, what do you think the benefits are of, you know, the online Spoonie community and making friends? Because, for instance, we would not have met each other if it weren't for us having the same illness and connecting via Twitter. And there's so much you can talk about and learn about with people online that you can't with people that you necessarily come across on an everyday basis. So do you have like any specific things that you think like the Spoonie community is, you know, really helpful for building friendships or especially making those connections with people who share your illnesses and experiences? Okay. Yeah, sorry, I kind of answered that for you in a way. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of something else to add to that. I guess like my one thing of advice would be if you don't fit in with the group the first spoony group, so to speak, one that shut you down. You know, just because this group is all a certain age or whatever, you guys just don't have the same interests. I guarantee you will find someone with the same interests. And, you know, even if it's like, what's your favorite video game? Just something you can talk about. This is also nice just because, you know, you talk about things besides your illness. You don't always want to talk about your illness, obviously. So you want to meet someone who you can just call and, yeah, talk about your illness or vent or whatever you need to do and ask, you know, advice. But then also to talk like normal friends. Kind of escape, so to speak, from your illness. Don't let that totally control your mind and your conversations with that person.
And that's something I really appreciated about our friendship. Yes, it was founded on the fact that we both suffer from EDS and POTS and, you know, our struggles and helping each other deal through that. But we also found out we have a lot more in common. And I feel like although a big part of our friendship is, you know, supporting each other through the struggles of our illness, we can also just talk about, like, we have many of the same hobbies. Our personalities are just click very well. And I feel like with you, you're not only a chronic illness friend, but a real friend. And I think with the Spoony community, sometimes, you know, you're going to connect with some people, you know, you may just connect with on a platonic level in terms of health. Other people you may not connect with in a health sense, but you may just find, you know, friends. But I don't know, just to me, it's very interesting just to think about the fact that I've found so many of my good friends through chronic illness, and there I still can get along with them on so many different levels.
And I think to add to that, if I may, point out to whoever's listening that I know it's a huge joke online to like be like, oh, my friends are on the internet. I've met some of my best friends on the internet. Obviously, it's the internet, you need to be careful and be smart about it.
Yes.
But, you know, and just because they were far away, like, Janeo lives across the country for me. We have met in person, but most of the time, we just talk on the phone for hours or Skype. Like, there's still, just because you're not physically face-to-face with each other or in the same room or state or whatever, you still can make a very strong friendship. Janeo and I have known each other for over 5 years now, which is crazy to think.
Yeah. And we've only met each other in person once, but at the same time we talk almost every day.
Yeah, I mean, it was totally normal, I feel like, when I arrived at your place. You know, it was like I just saw you yesterday, which I basically did, but
exactly.
So, you know, it's okay if, you know, people are like, oh, you're making friends online. Like, not everyone is gonna catfish you or any nonsense like that. You know, especially in the Spoony community, like, I don't know, maybe there's someone out there like that, but I have not come across someone who takes their illness to be a part of the community.
And I'm sure there are people who are out there with bad intentions or selfish intentions, but for the most part, like, my advice to people who want to get involved in the Spoony community would just be to just be honest and be open. But also, obviously, not to be too trustworthy of people you don't know. Get to know them first. Like, of course, when Caitlin and I started talking, exactly, like,
if you met a new kid in school, like, it's not like you're going to spill your life to them or tell them your address, your phone number right away or anything like that.
Exactly.
But you can just slowly build up a friendship.
That's so true. Yeah, and another aspect of the Spoony community that I personally really appreciate is the fact that it's a platform for awareness. And, you know, since we suffer from invisible illnesses that are rarely diagnosed and not a lot of people in the medical field and, you know, family, friends understand, it's been so valuable for me to learn so much about my illness and other people's illnesses through information that others share on social media. How have you found the awareness component of the Spoony community to be valuable to you?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't even think about how great that is. For example, my friend who I grew up with, where I live, one of my other best friends, he got diagnosed with fibro recently.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the student community and how we support others who have different illnesses than us, but are still, you know, students, and, you know, part of the community, you learn about that illness. But is that time of the, you know, it's October or whatever month it is for fibromyalgia awareness, and, you know, each month is just an awareness, you kind of take part in that because it's like your friends, like you want to help support your friends and raise awareness to them. I felt really lucky and ready, so to speak, to be there for her because I already have, you know, really understand it. And it's really nice to me, and then for me to be able to go, oh, this is a really great website for you to go on, or this support group you should really, you know, partake in, and it's cool. Because I think, like you said, it's really nice that you're not just focusing on your health issues. I mean, you are on your specific illness, but you're also learning about others.
Yes.
I mean, just because someone has a different illness, a lot of the illnesses have similar issues, and so those people can give advice, and just for those people that, you know, you're kind of helping each other not feel, like, outcasted, so to speak.
Yes.
And,
yeah, so before we conclude, is there anything else you'd like to say about, you know, share about your experiences, you know, being chronically ill as a young person, or the basically how you feel about, you know, the Spoonie community?
Well, for being chronically ill as an ill person, I would say, like,
not crazy. It's not all in your head. It's not. It really is an issue. You know, causing as many issues as you're saying it is.
Yeah.
And you know, you can look back and be like, oh yeah, when I sprained my ankle, like, this all makes so much sense. It just makes puts it together. And while it is a diagnosis, at least there's a name for it, and you can go from there.
Yes.
So I would just say, like, don't be afraid to get diagnosed. I know people who have put off going to the doctor for the diagnosis that. It just frightens them too much.
Yes.
But you can't get help. You can't. No doctor is going to treat you if you think you have something. You have to get that diagnosis first.
That's so true.
And, you know, you're going to be told almost any, it seems like almost anyone in the Spoonie community, you have to do physical therapy. And I would also really make an effort to find someone who really knows how to treat your specific illness.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something. Not everyone's taught how to treat, for example, for ours, Ehlers Danlos, and it's made a huge difference for when I actually made an effort to find someone who's taught in that.
Yes.
You know, and you just have to be brave enough to speak up, and, you know, because it is your health, and you are your number one advocate.
Yes.
So, I guess that's all I have to add.
No, that's cool. Thank you so much for letting me interview you today and giving, you know, some insight on this subject.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you very much.